We will begin reading in verse number 13. Verse 13. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. I've given this message tonight the title of How Do We Know That We Abide in Him? Father, I ask your blessings on the reading of your word. Help us to understand it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you followed along throughout the book of John, you know that there are themes or subjects that John has covered. And one of those subjects is the subject of knowing. And here again in verse 13, he says, by this we know. By this we know. The believer, according to John in his writings, and I'm talking about both his gospel and his epistle, according to John, the believer does not have to wonder. We don't have to live hoping that we are in relationship with God. We don't have to wonder if we're saved. We can know. John emphasizes it. And in fact, I was just going to give you the scripture references, but what I thought I would do is just right here in 1 John, just go back and read, and we'll look ahead at some that we haven't gotten to yet. These are verses where John talks about knowing. In chapter 2, verse 3, he said, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. In chapter 2 and verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Chapter 3, verse 19, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Chapter 3, verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Chapter 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. And who knows? He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Looking ahead into chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And chapter 5, verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So when you study the book of 1 John, when you get through the book of 1 John, if you have studied it faithfully, and you have sincerely read its words and pondered what they mean and considered what they're saying, you can know that you're a Christian. Of course, if those things are not true, you can know that you're not a Christian. I mean, John is the writer that wants people to know. And so he puts an emphasis on it. Why? Well, you have to remember that John is writing to refute false teachers, those who claim to have a special knowledge. He's telling his audience that all believers can know they are saved as well as know the truth. Knowledge is not for just a special class of people. So the believer can have knowledge. The believer can have assurance. Now, let me say this. The believer should never be conceited, but the believer can be confident. We should not be conceited, but we can be confident. We can have assurance because we can know that we are in him and that he is in us. So, from this passage of scripture, the question I want to answer over the next few minutes is, how can we know that we abide in him and he in us? Three things. First of all, we can know because he has given us his spirit. There in verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. Okay? Now the Bible teaches us that when we are saved, we received the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit is a gift to us from the Father. Okay? Now, I read it just a few minutes ago, but John has already alluded to this fact back over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. He said that we can know that we abide in Christ by the Spirit. And he said there, the Spirit is given to us by God. But there are other verses that say this as well. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. He's called a gift. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Heavenly Father. Okay? We do not deserve the presence of the Spirit, but he gives us the Spirit. That's how we know that we're saved. Okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If you don't have the presence of the Spirit, you're not saved. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, can we see the Spirit? No, we cannot. He is a spirit. But we can see evidence of the Spirit's presence in our lives. We see evidence of the Spirit working within us. So how does the Spirit witness to us? Well, this is a sermon all to itself, but I'm just going to be very, very brief, okay? How does the Spirit bear witness with our spirit? Well, as we've already seen in 1 John, we saw that the believer has an anointing, okay? And that anointing, if you remember, and this is going back over to chapter 2, that anointing that we have is so that we can understand the truth that we hear. We can understand the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Now again, that word anointing is thrown around a lot. It is misused. And people talking about receiving the anointing. If you are a believer, you have an anointing. John said, you don't need that anyone should teach you the truth. You have an anointing. And what was he talking about? He was talking about the fact that there were false teachers that were misleading the people, particularly when it came to the nature of Christ. And he said, you have an anointing from God and you know the truth. And so the Spirit bears witness with you that you are a child of God in the fact that you understand who Jesus is. He bears witness with our spirit in the fact that he gives us a new nature and new desires. When you get saved, your desires change. You become a new creation in Christ. I think it's at this time tonight in Atlanta, they're having the funeral services for Charles Stanley, who passed away this week. I remember him sharing one time, one of his programs, that he was preaching about the Holy Spirit, and he's preaching about salvation in particular. And a man was watching his broadcast in a hotel room somewhere, and he found out this later, and the man... It right there in his hotel room, got saved. And it just so happened the man was living with someone and doing some things that he didn't need to be doing, going places he didn't need to be going. And he said later when the man finally got to the church and he was able to actually talk with Dr. Stanley, he said, you know, I got saved. And he said, I went back home to where I was living with that lady. And he said, all of a sudden, it didn't feel right anymore. He said, I had to get out. And he said, the places that I was going, people I was hanging around, he said, I couldn't go to those places anymore. I just couldn't do it anymore. I had new desires. I didn't desire to be around those people. I desired to be around church people. And he said, somebody later explained to me, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, making you into a new creation and giving you new desires. That's how we know, because our life changes. Also, whenever the Spirit comes, another way when the Spirit comes, he brings gifts to the believers. The gifts by which we serve the Lord. Whether it's the gift of teaching or preaching or mercy, administration, helps, whatever it might be. He brings and he gives us gifts so that we are now able to serve the Lord in some capacity. I can tell you tonight, I look every one of you in your eyeball face to face and tell you, when you see me in the pulpit, you see me exercising a gift that God gave me, because I am an introvert. From the word go, to be in front of a crowd of people without the gift working through me would absolutely terrify me. I've told y'all this before. People ask me all the time, how long before you didn't get nervous? How many years did you have to stand in front of people before you didn't get nervous anymore? And my answer is the same every time. I'll let you know. I still do. Someone said the other day, you know, I've known you for a long time and you're so quiet. You just kind of sit off there and you don't say anything. And I heard you preach and I thought, oh my good gracious, what in the world? It's the gift. It's God's gift in this. And listen, Y'all understand it? I am no better than anybody else. I'm just gifted differently. That's it. This does not make me Super Steve or Super Saint. It's just the giftedness that God's given me. And he's given you a gift as well to serve him. Also, the Spirit produces fruit. Fruit that we bear for the world to see and enjoy. The fruit that comes out of us ought to be fruit that others enjoy. And it's what the Spirit produces. He has given us of his Spirit, the Bible says. That's how we can know, because of the changes that have been brought in our life. And by the way, I'm not talking about anything mystical. I'm talking about things that are practical. Things that we can see in our everyday life. And by the way, one of the fruit is that of love that John keeps talking about. How do we know that we abide in him? Because he has given us of his Spirit. Number two, because we confess Jesus is the Son of God. That's how we can know. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. The we in verse 14 refers to the apostles. But we as Christians must also do the same. John wrote here in verse 14 that they had seen that the Father had sent the Son as the Savior of the world. They had seen it. Up close and up personal, they had witnessed it. Now, it's true that the apostles did something that we have not done. They have, they saw and they heard Jesus. They knew of his mighty works. In fact, Peter, James, and John were eyewitnesses of his majesty there at the Transfiguration, when just a little bit of that glory broke through with Jesus. But bless God, it wasn't enough to kill him, but it was enough to let them know, this is the Son of God. The believer is a witness of what Christ has done in us as well as others that we have known, because our lives have been changed. We're different. And it's by the power of God that we are different. I remember hearing the story of, and you've probably heard it too, the old guy that got saved, and somebody was asking him about his Bible kind of scoffingly one day, and he said, I'm going to ask you a question. You really believe Jesus turned water into wine? He said, I absolutely do. He said, because in my case, Jesus turned wine into milk for my babies and into food for my family, because I used to spend it all on drink, but I don't do that anymore, and that's by God's grace. Amen. We are witnesses. When he says confess here in verse 15, yes, it is a personal confession, but I believe it also results in a public profession. We are professing Christ or confessing Christ to the world. He is the Son of God. And this is a confession that comes from one who has been led by the Spirit to make such a confession. Again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. When they say that Jesus has not come in the flesh, you don't believe them. But those who do confess it, that is the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we all understand in here tonight that anyone can say the words, Jesus is Lord. but they are simply repeating what they have been told. That's it. There's no reality in their life. It does not come from the Spirit. Now, we know that the demons recognize Jesus as Lord. They recognized him as the Son of God, as the Messiah. But we know the Holy Spirit wasn't in them leading them to say that. But they knew that. However, Peter, when confronted by Jesus, "Who do men say that I am?" And of course they said, "You're John the Baptist or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Who do you say that I am?" He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "My Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you." Okay? It's what Jesus is saying. He is, "Peter, you are saying that I am Lord. And the reason you're saying it is because God has revealed the truth to you and you believe the truth." Saying it doesn't mean anything without the Spirit. Y'all understand that? It's the Spirit that brings you to that point that all the world may laugh at you and mock you and say, "You really believe that God became a human and came to this earth and he lived and he never sinned and yet he was God at the same time, that he was both God and man and he never sinned and he lived and he did all of those miracles and then he died and he was buried and he was crucified and he rose again and he ascended into heaven. You really believe that?" When the Spirit reveals that to you, though all the world comes against you, you can stand and say, "I believe it. Even if it costs me my life, I will not deny that Jesus Christ is Lord." That's the confession. Let me just share a couple of verses with you before I move on to the last point. The believer's confession is that Jesus is Lord. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy, is what we believe is to be an early church confession that you must believe. You don't believe this, you don't have salvation. He said, "And without controversy," 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was preached among the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world. And he was received up into glory." Another one, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Y'all are probably maybe more familiar with this one. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." If the Spirit of God has not made that real to you, that is not your confession by the Spirit of God, you're not a Christian. But if it is, that's how you know you abide in him. Because you confess this and you do it because of what the Spirit has made you aware of in the inner man. You can know that you are a Christian by the Spirit that God has given us, and by the confession, Jesus is Lord. Third and finally, we know because we abide in God's love. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Okay? We have known and believed the love that God has for us. He's already written how we know this. Back up in verse 10. "Because God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin." That's how we know that he loves us, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And because of that, those who believe, the love of God has been poured out in us by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And again here in verse 16, John continues to emphasize that God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. Now, let me make sure that we understand this. This is not teaching us that if we love, that makes us right with God. Okay? Don't misunderstand that, because that's where we can go astray. Say, well, you know, as long as I love, because that's what God calls us to do. God calls us to be good and to be loving. And if we do that, then we're right with God. And someone will say, see there, that's what it's saying. That is not what he's saying. He's not saying that if we love, we are right with God. He is saying that love is evidence of the fact that we are in Christ. Our love for our brothers, even our love for our enemies, is evidence that we are in Christ. Love of God and love for God is love that comes from God. Let me say that again. Love of God and love for God is love that comes from God. And when we are abiding in it, we can know that we are saved. You know, it is interesting to me that nowhere in John's letters and all of the talking that John does about knowing, John never one time says you can know that you are saved by your spiritual gift, by some giftedness, but he does say you can know by your spiritual fruit. He doesn't say speaking in tongues is a sign that you have the Holy Spirit. Now, our Pentecostal brothers and sisters, some of them would tell us that speaking in tongues is a sign that you have the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is a sign that you're saved. Nowhere does the Bible teach that. But it does teach that when we walk in love, and we love as God has loved, that is an indication that we are saved. Now, do we have gifts? Obviously. Are they an indication that we are saved? Yes, because we are able to use those gifts. But remember what Paul said. Even with the greatest of gifts, without love, it is nothing. It is nothing at all. So as we've seen, John was talking about knowing the truth. This is absolutely paramount that we know this, because he was trying to deal with false prophets who would teach people things that would lead them to be unsure. And the believer has no need to live a life of uncertainty. Can a believer go through moments of doubt? I believe you can. I believe there can be times when you just get so overwhelmed with life, with stress, with whatever, with things that are happening, you can just think, I don't even know. I'm struggling. But can a believer go on and on and on and on with never a moment of assurance? I don't believe so, because I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I remember one of the churches I pastored, there was a lady that came every so often, an older lady, and she said, I've just never had that assurance. I've just never had that assurance. And I would talk to her and talk to her and talk to her, and just don't know to this day that she has ever come to that point where she can know that she knows that she knows that she knows. I think she's waiting for some kind of feeling, some kind of experience to come over her instead of getting in the Word of God, reading what the Word of God says, and allowing the Spirit to speak to her through the Word of God. I wish at that time I had been a better preacher and had a better understanding of how to show her some things. But I was still young, and I was still kind of into the, I'm just being honest with you, okay? I was still kind of into the mystical experience thing myself. And God has gloriously allowed me to get to the point where I'm not denying experience, but my truth comes not from my experience, but from the Word of God. That's where it must come. Because I can have one experience today, and I'll have another one tomorrow. But the Word of God never changes. So my assurance comes from here, not from out there. I don't want to live in continual doubt. I want to know. And the Bible says that I can. Glory to God. Father,